Welcome to 70s Beatles. I'm Kate.
And I'm Scott.
On this podcast, we take a solo album from each of the former Beatles, and taking turns, we each pick songs to fill up what would be our theoretical, hypothetical, what if the Beatles stayed together album. Using John's own suggested template of four songs apiece for George, Paul, and himself, with one or two Ringo tunes, we build out our individual albums. After a month or so, we go back and use Spotify data to calculate the percentage increase in the number of plays for each track. We then total these percentages and see which one of us holds the winning album.
And our newest winner will be announced today. This is the results episode for our seventh batch of albums. The albums we chose our songs from are McCartney 2 by Paul McCartney, obviously. Double Fantasy by John and Yoko. Somewhere in England by George Harrison, and the two singles from Ringo's Stop and Smell the Roses LP.
So let's recap our picks. So for me, I opted to name this album Front Parlor. I just felt like it fit. It was nice. This is my track list. On side one, I open up with bogey music. I felt like it just kind of like set the tone for how weird these songs and like combinations were gonna be. So bogey music, and then I went to Private Property, Baltimore Oriole, Every Man Has a Woman, Front Parlor coming up, and then I had side one close out with All Those Years Ago. Side two opens with the banger that is Teardrops, followed by I'm Moving On, Dark Room, Drumming Is My Madness, Hong Kong Blues, Watching the Wheels, and then I opted to close the album out with Beautiful Boy.
It's a nice, sweet way to end it.
Yeah, I think so. And then I also like how at the end it's like, you know, good night, sweet dreams, bye-bye, like just felt like a good closer.
Yeah, no, it is sweet. And I know they usually end on a rocking song, but they did end the White Album with Good Night, so I think it makes sense. Well, for my album, I called it Beatles 1980, although it probably wouldn't have come out until 1981. But I started with the same song that started Somewhere in England, Blood from a Clone, because that's a righteous rocking banger.
Yes.
Followed by Temporary Secretary, which is another weird dancey number, and then Cleanup Time, which is about the most up-tempo thing John had. So we have a very sort of dance vibe to start out with, and then we go into Unconsciousness Rules to sort of comment on the dancing thing.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we go into I'm Losing You, followed by On the Way, which are the two sort of like angry, sad, bluesy numbers from John and Paul, respectively. And then we close side one with the goofy Stop and Take the Time to Smell the Roses, because it had to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We flip it over. We have another kind of jaunty but depressing song with Save the World, followed by Dear Yoko. Then we bring things down temporarily with the Summer's Day song. Then we get back into the more wacky, goofy stuff with Ringo's Rack My Brain, followed by another song written by George, That Which I Have Lost. And then we end on another sort of melancholic note going from Woman and then One of These Days, which also ended McCartney 2. So I figured it was fitting as a closer.
Yeah, great. I'm still so upset that you got Temporary Secretary, and your placement is amazing. That's like exactly where I would have put it too.
Yeah, no, you can't hide Temporary Secretary.
No, you can't. Gotta, you have to let it out.
Yes. So to hear the whole selection process of how we came up with these songs, check out our previous episode from last month. And, you know, feel free to listen to the albums and check out our Spotify playlist, which we'll have linked in all the episode notes. And you can also track the Spotify data along with us. We've linked our tracker, so we've thought of everything, and you guys, you're welcome.
So in this results episode, we're going to, of course, announce our Spotify data winner. We're also going to get into some fun minutia data. We'll find the top performing songs for each respective Beatle and find the top three performing songs overall. And then we'll round it all out with a segment called Beatles in the News. Let's get into it.
Okay, so for the third week in a row now, I have squeaked out a victory scoring.
Oh my gosh.
223.58 to 213, so another 10 points, 213.43. You know, I sort of thought by this point I'd have an idea of what would and wouldn't work, and then we'd be fighting to get those. It's still a random crapshoot at this point. I, even if I were trying to lose, I don't.
You, yeah, I was about to say, you are on a streak. Oh my gosh, I can't catch a break.
Yeah.
When was the last time I won, like, batch two? Jeez.
It's been a bit, yes, so.
That's funny. That's okay. Yes. You're a worthy opponent.
Yeah, and again, like I said, I'm not doing this. I don't think either of us are doing this deliberately, because every time the results come in, I am as surprised as anyone. So let's take a look into our top performers, but we'll clarify what we mean by top performers. It's the songs with the most Spotify plays over the allotted 4 weeks that we have spent. For this batch of songs, the John's best performing one was Beautiful Boy, Darling Boy, which increased 3.05. So you had that one.
Yes.
And then for Paul, he had On the Way, oddly enough, went up 1.58. And that was one I had. Then we had George. His top performer was, oddly enough, Baltimore Oriole, the Hoagy Carmichael song, which jumped up 1.81%. And you got that one before I did. And then Ringo's top performer this time around was Stop and Take the Time to Smell the Roses, which jumped up 3.02%. So we had two really big ones coming up here.
Yeah. Those 3 percentage point increases are relatively high, I feel like, for what we usually see. So that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the top songs overall, A Bit More of You, which I still think was some sort of weird anomalous fluke, rose 12.65%. Letting Go, which oddly enough just came out as a live video on Paul McCartney's YouTube channel yesterday, jumped up 7.15% over the week we had it. And Beautiful Boy at 3.05 is number three.
Ah, so we cracked into a top song with this batch.
We did, yeah. And I think Stop and Take the Time to Smell the Roses was number four. So we had some good singles.
Yeah.
Good increases this time around, which is surprising.
Yeah.
And looking at the album increases overall, in fact, the number one and number two were bested this week. Ringo's two singles increased 2.36%, which actually makes it the number one increase of all time.
Wow. Ringo. Yeah, oh my gosh. Beat out everybody.
Yeah, by a significant enough margin that, I mean, granted, it's just his two singles and their B-sides, but still, 2.36. And number two was Double Fantasy, which rose 1.96, making it the number two overall. After that, it's Ram, and then Venus and Mars, and then Red Rose Speedway. It's a lot of Paul.
Wow.
McCartney 2 came in at number 11 at 1.36, and right underneath it, and number 12 was Somewhere in England at 1.32%.
So interesting.
It was a well-performing batch album, which I was not expecting at all. Because it's not exactly the stuff people think of when they think of the Beatles.
Sure.
Or their solo work.
Yeah, to put this in perspective for like the people listening. So we're out of the 28 albums. I'm putting albums in like quotations because the Ringo ones are like his collection of singles, but we've done 28 so far. So we have them kind of like ranked from percentage increase from like all of the batches we've done in the past. Ringo's in this past round came in first place, whereas like where's the next highest?
I think Ringo's like second single, which was the It Don't Come Easy.
Yeah, 17th. That's crazy.
Yeah Ringo, I'm not sure why or what happened there. Maybe it was just he had low numbers before, so it didn't take much, but still, it's impressive.
Yeah.
So that's sort of our digging into the minutiae of the statistics this time around. Some interesting stuff going on, because we are sadly nearing the end of our experiment, and we're going to have to figure out how this all works in the end. So. Yeah. But first, we have our Beatles news. I read the news today. Oh, boy. Oh, you got to say that every time. Oh, boy. Let's see. First up, I see Paul has announced that he has written, or at least authored, a new book called Wings, The Story of a Band on the Run, which is an oral history of the band collected from interviews and featuring lots of photos. So it's not really a novel or autobiography or anything. But it's still, he's flogging the Wings thing again, which is nice to see. He does that every now and then. A couple, like 20 years ago, he did that Wingspan documentary and accompanying compilation album. So he does this every now and then. It's nice to see.
What is the difference between, like you said, he has written or authored? What is the distinguishing thing there?
Well, his name is the one that is credited, but I don't think he sat down with a typewriter and wrote it. It's much as someone probably went in and edited a bunch of interviews that he gave either at the time or currently and turned it into a book. And there's probably other interviews from like Denny Lane and Linda also included in there. So it's not like it's just Paul's words.
Got it. That makes sense. He kind of like curated.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's curated from stuff he said. I wouldn't be surprised if someone else did the actual labor of putting it together. But
yeah,
we just have a weird YouTube teaser of the book and not a lot of details of what's going to be in there because it's not coming out until like November, I think. So
okay.
Yeah. Save your money for Christmas.
Yes. Then it looks like next bit of Beatles in the News, Now and Then won the Grammy for Best Rock Performance. I know it was up for a couple of others. It was up for Best Song or Record, I think.
Yeah, a few. I'm not sure how it won or why it won. I think people were a little surprised. At least Paul and Ringo were, because they weren't there.
I was wondering, like, because I didn't watch it, did they go up and accept it? Or?
Yeah, Sean Lennon, John's son, was the one who went up and accepted it. Oh, okay. So
that's sweet.
Somebody was there, yes. And it seems as appropriate as anyone to... And I'm not overly surprised it won something. I mean, you know, the Grammy voters just saw the Beatles' name. They probably didn't even know they've released the song. They just voted for it because they like the Beatles.
That's exactly what I would do, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh. There's a polka musician by the name of Jimmy Sturr. He has, or at least he used to have, like the record for most Grammys won total. Because every year he wins the Grammy for Best Polka.
Ah, because he's the only one?
No, there's always other nominees, but he always comes up with the funniest, cleverest name. Oh. So all the millions of Grammy voters who've never heard of any of the polka contestants, you know, vote for him because his is like, you know, Polka Your Eyes Out or...
Oh my gosh.
You know, Polkamon or whatever it is. It's been a thing that he's... I think he's dead now, but it's a thing that he had, like, the record for... You know, 20, 30 years for most Grammys just because he sort of gamed the system that way.
That's genius. That's hilarious.
I mean, I would have voted for him if I were in the Academy or whatever it is. So.
For sure. Polka My Eyes Out. Yeah. That's hilarious. I love that.
Yeah.
In other news, the Royal Mint is releasing a 5-pound John Lennon coin. I'm not sure. I was trying to figure it out, but I'm not sure if like this is like a coin that's going into regular like British circulation or if this is like just purely a collector coin kind of a thing. But it says it's like a 5-pound coin. So I feel like it's maybe they're releasing some of them into general coinage or whatever. But it says on one side it says John Lennon and it says Imagine. And then it's his face inspired by that picture of him. We all know it. Where he's wearing like the New York City shirt, looking wistfully off of a balcony. I think it was taken by Yoko Ono, but that's the picture they're using for the coin.
Yeah, it's interesting they picked a picture with, you know, New York City emblazoned. Yes,
I thought so too.
So, but it is kind of cool. I hadn't heard this until you brought it up to me, and I was kind of stunned. I'm like, wow, that is saying something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I really want to know, like, I'll have to look into it maybe more when it's released. Because I was looking at the website, and it has some, like, just regularly priced it's, you know, it's like, it's in US dollars, so it's like $7, $10 for the coin. And then they have some listed for, like, $100, $200, which I'm guessing they're just, I'm just, like, curious. I'm like, is this a coin that they're going to, like, release out into the population, or is this only a coin that you can like order online, or maybe it's both because there's like the $10 option, so maybe people like order that, and then there's the expensive one. So I don't know, maybe next time I'm roving around England, one will just like happen upon me and then I'll have my answer.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Is it like those state quarters
they
released, and some people tried to collect them all and other people just used them to buy candy bars in the vending machine. I don't know.
Yes.
We'll find out. But it is cool that they're doing it. It does definitely seem somewhat official, and I think you could use it for currency. Whether anyone will or not, I'm not sure. But
yeah.
They gave it an actual, you know, amount of money that people could use. So it's not like, you know, a $3 bill or a $1,000 coin or something. So.
$1,000 coin, yes.
Yeah.
Also, this isn't really like new news, but it's just kind of been like floating around ever since they announced it. The like the Beatles biopics that are going to be coming out. I think they set the release date for 2027. But just to, like, bring it back up, because it's just amazing to me that this is happening. But they're releasing, or planning to release, 4 separate movies. One centered around each of the Beatles, like, within the same year. So in 2027, we're going to get 4, if, you know, if all goes to schedule. You know, we waited, what, like, 10 years for that second Avatar movie. But, you know, 4 whole movies around the Beatles, supposedly in 2027, which is so exciting for me. I think there's a lot of, like, and we've talked about this a little bit, but speculation regarding what that's going to look like. Like, are they going to have the same actors the whole way through? Or, you know, what kind? How are they going to kind of, like, divvy up the timeline? I wanted to ask you, Scott, like, how would you do it? How would you divvy up the timeline, and, like, which Beatle would you focus on for which era?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, obviously, the trip to India seems like the George episode. But, I mean, do you make, like, the initial flush of fame more of a John thing? Do you make the, like, the breakup sort of Paul dealing with that? You could take it so many different ways. Or do you have all 4 movies take place over the course of the entire thing just from a different perspective? And in which case, how much overlap and how much new material is it? Is it like a Rashomon kind of thing where it's the same movie just told from 3 different perspectives?
Yeah, interesting.
I don't know if we're going to... I don't know if they know yet what they're going to do, because it sounds very preliminary still. I mean, casting has been rumored, but I don't think anything's been signed. I don't think filming has started, much less finished. I don't know if there's a script, or scripts, plural, written, but it certainly seems like something that is going to happen. I mean, when they first announced that Timothy Chalamet Bob Dylan movie back in 2020, I was like, yeah, that's going to happen. And, well, it did.
It did.
Eventually. A long time after. But yes, it did actually happen.
So. Yes, I completely agree. I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen in 2027.
Yeah. By the time it comes out, who knows how old these actors will be or who's still alive to watch it. But it's coming.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard this discussed, and I like this idea where over the course of, like, the Beatles' career, at the time where they were together. So really, it seems like so much longer, but it was really only, they released their first album in 63 and the last one in 70. Yeah. So we're talking about, like, 7 years, right?
Yeah.
So, and they have, like, 12 studio, like, canon records deemed by the audiences, like, canon, because they include, what is it, Magical Mystery Tour in there, even though half of it is George Martin.
Yeah.
So someone was like, what if they split those 12 records into, like, 3, you know, divisions of 4, 3 apiece, and kind of covered the timeline that way? So, like, the first 3, and, you know, obviously, like, that would kind of make time weird, because their first 3 records came out within, like, a year and a half of each other. And then the last ones have a little bit more time in between. But I think it would be cool to do, like, for the first, you know, couple of years to do, like, a Ringo perspective kind of a thing, because, you know, like, he was coming from another band, coming from kind of, like, already being established, so kind of, like, to see the Beatles, or they were the Quarrymen at the time, but from, like, his perspective, and then his kind of going in. However, I feel like in order to get, like, the audience draw, they would probably start with John for that same, like, era. But I do think it would be cool to start with Ringo.
Yeah, it'd be tough, because then you don't want to feel bad for Pete Best, but if you know the story, you kind of feel bad for Pete Best.
Yeah.
I mean, so telling it from Ringo's perspective might make that easier, or might make it
make
Ringo the villain. I'm not sure. I mean, it wasn't his idea, but it's still, they did not treat Pete well. There was that biopic that came out recently called Midas Man, all about Brian Epstein, and that was a tough scene to watch when Brian had to fire Pete.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what his, like, level of involvement is with this. I wonder what, like, what Paul or Ringo's level of involvement is, like, if it's kind of, like, mainly handled by the estate, or if they have any. I'm sure they do. They're so, like, you know, established and invested. I'm sure that they maybe aren't, like, controlling the ropes or anything, but things are probably getting run by them.
Yeah, they probably have some sort of final say, and if it's not flattering enough to them, they will have veto power, which does put them in a different position than, say, John and George, although they do have their respective spouses still alive to stand up for them, too. So it may be easier to be meaner to the ones who are still alive because they can handle it. Well, Yoko may not want people saying bad stuff about John, although given Yoko's age, by the time these films come out, she may not be the one making that decision either. I think Sean has pretty much taken over that running of the estate anyway, so.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, as new news comes along, we will report it because I am tracking it. I am very excited, so.
Yes, I am curious as well. And next episode is going to be probably our last batch of records, which is kind of sad. But it's the batch of albums that are right after the death of John. It's John's posthumous release, Milk and Honey, which Yoko compiled. Paul's first real solo album that wasn't either Wings or One Man Band Affair, Tug of War. There's George's Gone Troppo and Ringo's Old Wave. And both George and Ringo give up the business after those two records, which is why not only is John's death, but there's a lot of reasons why that's kind of the stopping point.
Right.
George only releases one more album in his lifetime after that, and Ringo doesn't release another one until like 1991, so there's no more real easy chronology where things line up. So this will be our last chance to sort of see who wins the final royal match.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I gotta get it together. I've got some points to make up.
Yeah, tune in next month for that. We'll be curious as how that all plays out.
Yes, I for one am so excited to like have an excuse to sit down and listen to Gone Troppo the whole way through because I've never done it. I've been scared of it, I think.
George did not give it the most love, and as a result, I think everyone else sort of fell in line, but it's not nearly as bad as it could have been.
So yeah.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
I mean, it's not going to beat 33 and a third as your favorite, but it'll be pleasantly surprised.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'm excited to get into these.
Indeed. So you'll have to tune in next month for that. We're usually released on the first Monday or the second Monday of the month. I don't remember. But you'll know when you see. And in the meantime, we appreciate you commenting and subscribing and smashing, as you do, one subscribing button. The smashing is the important part.
Right. Well, thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Thank you so much.